Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Over My Dead Pod. This is your host for today, Kate Carter.
And I'm Kylie Colwell.
And we are Holly-less. It's just, we're bouncing around on who's going to make an episode and who's not. We're busy girls. Today's case is, I don't want to say confusing because it's not, but I kind of want to get your thoughts at the end of like, who done did it? You know? So this is the case of Bethany Deaton. Bethany Ann was born on October 5th, 1985 in San Antonio, Texas. She was raised by a pretty religious family. Her parents were Eric and Carol, and then she had four siblings. Bethany and her siblings were homeschooled their entire life. Well, excuse me, they were homeschooled their entire life up until high school, and then they went to a public high school for those 4 years. Growing up, Bethany was known to be very kind. She was loved by everybody. She was like this overall sweet, gentle person, like good reputation. She was also an amazing writer, which is something she did in her free time. To give you an example of the type of person she was, when she was in high school, she wrote multiple letters that were addressed to her future husband. And so she was like planning on giving those letters one day to whoever she married. In 2006, Bethany graduated from high school. She was in the top 10 of her class. Good for you, Bethany. And pretty much started blogging after graduating. That was kind of like when blogging was in style anyways. But in this blog, she wrote about her life, her dreams for the future. She really just kind of put out things that she needed to get off her chest and into public. Nothing like crazy, but she was a talented writer. As she began college, she went to Southwestern University. Bethany spent most of her time in the writing department, and she was loved by all students and faculty, like good person, like I said. While Bethany was in college, she started this small church prayer-like group, and those people started to become some of her best friends. In that group, Bethany was known to be this like hopeless romantic who was amazing with her words, and she dreamed of being a novelist. And in that prayer group was a man named Tyler Deaton. That man was the person Bethany knew from day one she was going to marry. Now, Tyler, just like Bethany, he was very into writing and books, and he was kind of looked at as the jokester of the friend group. Bethany, seriously, like she was head over heels for him. She oohed and aahed basically at anything that Tyler did. And she would even write on her blog about him and how she was fiercely attracted to him. So, you know, out in the open with how much she liked him. But there was one small issue with Tyler, and that was that he was gay. I wouldn't say that he was openly gay about it, but like everyone knew he was gay. But Bethany didn't care. She knew that there was real love there. So she just continued to be in love with him. Mr. Tyler Deaton. Now, I couldn't find too much about his upbringing, but everything that I did find, which is pretty prevalent, is that like he was raised in a religious family. He was the same age as Bethany. He was raised in Corpus Christi, Texas. He was definitely like this flamboyant boy since birth, but he tried his best to conceal it because of his family and like the religion. And so he struggled growing up with his sexuality, which, you know, I mean, it happens often and it's super sad. But other than that, Tyler was a very smart kid, loved to play music, local high school marching band, graduated top 10 of his class, loved writing, loved reading. So, you know, a big old nerd in a good way. After high school, Tyler also went on to attend Southwestern University, and then he joined Bethany's prayer group. It was in that group that Tyler disclosed to everyone that he practiced magic, which was kind of odd to everyone in this group, or like people were shocked because it was a religious group. Magic was frowned upon growing up. I know multiple people, I don't know about you, Kylie, but like they weren't allowed to have anything to do with magic growing up.
Oh, I knew kids that weren't allowed to watch Harry Potter.
We're going to get into that. And so, yeah, so he told this group like, he actively practices magic. And they're like, okay, interesting, odd. Tyler explained to him that he was able to use this magic to control people. There was this dark magic that altered his sexuality. And so that's why he is the way he is because of the bad dark magic. It would also later be noted that this magic obsession definitely stemmed from his love of reading certain types of like fantasy books or movies. So some of Tyler's like passions in life, which is to each their own, is The Lord of the Rings, The Chronicles of Narnia, and our favorite, Harry Potter.
Good three.
Yep. But according to Tyler, Harry Potter was, quote, the greatest story ever told, end quote. Apparently, Tyler and Bethany and some of the other people in the group, they bonded over these things, like the fantasy books and movies. Within the prayer group, they decided to form this smaller group. It was going to be a private group, and they called it the community. Now, the community was a quiet group to start off with, very innocent, met about once a week. They were still a religious group, but they also talked about like their favorite fantasy books and movies. Moving on, in 2007, this was during Tyler and Bethany's junior year of college, Tyler decided to go on a church mission, and he actually went to Pakistan. Okay, I also just have to say, when I was writing this, I was like, he went to Pakistan in 2007? I feel like that was not a good time to be in Pakistan.
No, Osama bin Laden was in Pakistan in 2007.
I'm pretty sure. I don't think that was the right choice, but you know what? Tyler comes back and it's fine. So according to Tyler, on his trip in Pakistan, he experienced multiple supernatural experiences while he was there. He said that one of the days he walked past a little boy that was missing a leg, and the next day Tyler passed by the same boy again, and he now had both legs. And then apparently that night in a dream, a voice came to Tyler, who Tyler said was God. And God told him that it was Tyler who had done this to the little boy. Like, Tyler had fixed the little boy's leg. And then on another day, Tyler went to a local children's home in Pakistan. When this voice came to him again, this voice told him that the leader of this group home was committing illegal sexual acts with the boys. And so Tyler was like, oh, I hear this voice. I'm going to take it upon myself, and I'm going to go tell the other members of the children's home about what God just told me. They ended up finding out later on that some of the older boys and the group home's leader had been caught before doing these illegal acts and assaults. And because of that, they ended up getting kicked out of the children's home. So like Tyler's like, ooh, you know, God's talking to me and telling me these things, and then it's true or it's happening. After Tyler returned back to the U.S. after his mission, he tried very hard to hear the voice of God again. He definitely was doing this best to feel the supernatural power. All the magic he had been practicing for years and everything he had been watching and reading, he basically said he experienced in Pakistan. And he told the community group that he would do anything to feel this type of power again. On July 20th of 2007, same year as the Pakistan trip, Tyler was standing outside of a bookstore waiting for the drop of a new Harry Potter book when he got a call from God. And this was the first time since Pakistan. And apparently God told him that what happened in Pakistan was going to happen again, but that this time it would be within the community and with Bethany. So the prayer group ends up meeting up that day, and they're talking about these fantasy books they've been reading, and they are comparing them to the Bible and pretty much making comparisons between these, like, you know, like Harry Potter and the Bible and how all of that is happening in the real world. But the group members were thinking they were special in these books, like they were comparing themselves to characters in these books and then putting themselves in real life. So like literally like Harry Potter, Dumbledore, stuff like that. So obviously like from our end, you can tell something's off a little bit already. They're taking the plot of Harry Potter and making it real life. And Tyler was definitely using all of this to his advantage. Well, I don't know if Tyler was using it to his advantage. Like he believed in it, but he also thought he was being talked to by God. So for example, in this prayer group, they would meet up, they'd be talking, and then Tyler would just randomly stand up and yell, Jesus, for example, and the music in the room would immediately stop playing. So like Tyler thought that was a power from God. Or another example is this one Tyler loved, is that he swore he could make birds fly. He would go up to birds outside and yell at them, go away, and they would fly off.
feel like most people could do that.
I think if you go outside and you even look at a bird, it will fly off.
You even think about looking at the bird is flying off.
Honestly, right now they're flying. I can hear them. You know, like it's just, I said bird and they immediately got scared and flew off.
Yep.
But some people in the group, which was called the community, fully believed in Tyler and his powers. He basically started becoming the group leader at this point instead of Bethany. And by the end of 2007, Tyler decided to take it upon himself to attend a religious conference in Kansas. This conference was called IHOP. Now, when I say IHOP, it ain't what you think. We're not talking about the International House of Pancakes, but we are talking about the International House of Prayer. Though sometimes during this story, I wish it was pancakes instead. So Tyler went to this IHOP, International Prayer Conference, and he apparently came back from it bigger and stronger about everything. And he went into the community and went hot and heavy about like how passionate he was about the word of God and told them that, quote, God has violently poured into my heart, end quote. IHOP, let's talk about him for a second. International House of Prayer, founded in 1983, so pretty recent. This guy named Mike Bickle, it's like pickle with a B, he founded the church on the foundation that God told him to, and to have him create a 24-hour prayer group. So that's like the foundation of the church, is it's a constant prayer group. Not really sure where the name IHOP came from, because our pancake place that we all love was made in the 1950s. So it had been around for like a hot minute. So I don't know where Mr. Mike Bickle was thinking he was going to get away with the IHOP name. Obviously, Pancake Place didn't like it because they sued them in 2010. But for some reason, one way or the other, both ended up being able to keep their name. So we have two IHOPs. Mike Bickle said God came to him, needed a 24-hour prayer group, and that he also needed to create this thing called the Tabernacle of David. So Mike pretty much got this calling to create a constant worship and prayer group. And if he was doing this, like if people were constantly praying, then the demons could never like come into the world. So that's pretty much what they did. They prayed and worshiped 24/7. And when I mean 24/7, I mean literally, Kylie, they are doing it right now. There is a YouTube live stream and it's called the Global Prayer Room. And it is a 24/7 live stream of IHOP.
I am logging in right now.
It's usually a video of someone singing or playing music, which is what they would do. There would always be like worship music playing and then people are praying. So like people can go in and out of this room and pray whenever they want to.
It's honestly commendable to keep that going 24/7.
24/7. Very, very interesting. But if they're worshiping, then the demons can't come. So like that to them, why not worship 24/7? You're not allowing for any demons to come in, you know? So it wasn't just the constant worship that Mr. Mike Bickle created with IHOP, but he also created the idea that everyone who joins in on the church is going to be godlike. So that's what I think sticks with a lot of people too, is that God wanted everyone at IHOP to be like him, not a human, but a god. And Mike Bickle would tell people this message: if you come into the church, you will have the opportunity to become a godlike person. And if you're a godlike person, you can be a part of the end times ministry. So he created, with this IHOP also comes the idea of like the end of times, which I think a lot, I mean, almost all religions have that. In the ministry, if you're young, you're going to battle whenever the Antichrist comes for the end of times. And then everybody else is going to be in this room praying so that the demons can't come more than they did for the end of time. I don't know how it works.
I'm sort of following.
Okay. Yeah. It's a lot. But whoever is fighting for the end of times is going to be saved. And then whoever isn't fighting, like isn't a part of IHOP, they're going to be, quote, slaughtered by a sword. Now, without that becoming too political, it kind of also sounds exactly like the Lord of the Rings. Tyler was a big fan of. So obviously, he found IHOP and he was like, I am here for this. This is up my alley. I attended this conference. He's taken it back to the community group and boom, their community is now part of IHOP. multiple groups throughout the US and the world kind of had the same idea, and they joined IHOP. And so IHOP became this big organization. Pretty much starting the day that Tyler got back from the IHOP convention, the community group began supporting Tyler in this movement that they were to get ready for the end of times, because they're still on the youngins like side of everything. So they were like, we've got to fight for the end of times, like when it comes, because we're going to be gods afterwards and we're going to be saved. So in the group, which included our girl Bethany, they all began reading IHOP books, listening to the IHOP music and worships, and they would travel on road trips to go to these IHOP conferences that were being held. And the group went from this really quiet, like book reading, movie loving group to a very radicalized group pretty quickly. Now, with Tyler telling everyone that he had been chosen to train for God's like final army, team members from the community were out and about like constantly recruiting for others. Like they wanted to get as big as they could. For example, right before Tyler had attended that IHOP convention, Bethany had recruited a fellow student named Micah to join the community. Now, Micah and Bethany knew each other from some campus classes. Bethany was pretty much always the type of person to take care of others, and Micah definitely needed taking care of. Only a few months prior, Micah's mother had passed away out of the blue for one reason or another. Following his mom's death, Micah was taking acid and had a really bad trip at one point. It traumatized him because apparently he watched his mother die in person over and over again. And then also on that trip, he was having angels and demons fight about him. For one reason or the other, he told Bethany about this. And Bethany was like, angels and demons are fighting over you. You need to come join our group called the community. Like, we can help you. We can pray for you. You know, we're perfect for you. And so Micah joined the community. So that's kind of just how like people entered into the group. When Bethany brought Micah into the community from the get-go, he was very accepted by everybody. He was known to be quiet, but he was really open to all ideas. And just like everyone else in the group, Micah was also intrigued with Tyler and his like power of position. Micah would talk about how Tyler has special gifts and Tyler had touched his soul. Micah definitely fell under Tyler's like realm. So a year later in 2008, there's over 30 people in the community, and every single one of its members believed that Tyler was in constant communication with God, because apparently Tyler talked to God more and more now, like on a daily basis. And the community would meet up more often too. So instead of once a week, they were meeting up every day or every few days. And every time they did, Tyler would be asked what the prophecy of the day is. And Tyler would tell them like, oh, God told me this, God told me that, we need to do this, we need to do that. One day, Tyler told the group that one of God's new prophecies is that, yes, they were creating an army for the end times, but they were also preparing to welcome back Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, they needed to provide Jesus Christ with as many wives as possible. And this prophecy wasn't actually from Tyler. It was from IHOP itself. So it wasn't just Tyler saying, that's what God told me. It was actually Mike Bickle in IHOP said, we need to provide Jesus Christ with as many wives as possible. And so IHOP and the community and all the groups that were under IHOP started to prepare its people to be wives for Jesus Christ. It wasn't just the fact that the church was now going to prepare everyone to be Jesus's wives, but there were other things that were going to come along with that. So, for example, during some of the IHOP worships that were being live streamed, Pastor Mike Bickle would like openly talk about how people need to prepare to have orgies with Jesus, and how followers of IHOPs should be in constant fantasizing mode about having sex with Jesus. And that's how it was going to prepare them to eventually be a wife or a partner of Jesus. It was a common saying too, like Mike Bickle said this in a lot of his worships, that, quote, oil is only to be used for your alone time with Jesus, end quote.
I mean, already getting to the kind of cult thing with the end times.
Yeah.
But yeah, the preparing for an orgy with Jesus has really pushed it over the line for me.
In this case, when Mike Bickle says alone time with Jesus, I don't think we're talking about prayer. with all of this new information Tyler got from IHOP, he obviously told the community. Everybody believed it because that was what they believed in. They also believed that Tyler had been anointed by God with the ability to foresee marriages. Tyler took it upon himself to start matching people up within the community, even though they were paired together, like, oh, God told me you guys are to be married. They weren't allowed to actually do anything, because if they were to flirt or touch, that means they were putting themselves before Jesus. Our girl Bethany, who this case is about, I feel like I barely talk about her, but she's still obsessed with Tyler. She said that she had her own personal marriage prophecy that her and Tyler were supposed to be together. But obviously, Tyler did not think that at all. In fact, he was doing quite the opposite of what Bethany desired for, but he would shut her down. He would belittle her publicly at any point. And Bethany was here for it. She done stuck around. With Tyler being in the closet at the moment, it was obviously that he was not going to foresee himself marrying Bethany, but it didn't stop him from pairing others together. But when it came to things like activities or actions inside of the group, it didn't always have to be a female-male kind of situation. So that's where it gets a little interesting. Like, for example, Tyler would often have members of the community, two guys, cuddle on the floor in front of the group for like a while, and everyone just had to sit there and watch them and then eventually pile on top of them. And that was like a game.
Seems like a fetish thing to me.
100%. What's interesting is, to be honest, it didn't seem like the other guys in the group minded it until one member, his name was Justin, who happened to be Tyler's biggest crush, started feeling more and more uncomfortable as he noticed that he was the only person Tyler was choosing to cuddle with in front of the group. These cuddle sessions, you ask, they could go on for over 5 hours. Anyways, at some point, while these marriage prophecies and cuddle puddles are happening, along with IHOP's like normal 24/7 worshiping, Tyler would have the community pray over him to pray the gay away, basically. And at some point, you know, because that was dark magic that had done that to him. Like, it wasn't him. It was the dark magic. And so at some point, Tyler did say that he physically felt the gay leave his body. And when that happened, our homegirl Bethany was like, oh, wait, I'm in love with you. The gay is away. Like, let's do this. So Tyler came to his senses, I guess you would call it. And was like, you know what? My love for you is pure. My heart is open now. And the two of them were glued together side by side from there on. Post college graduation, Bethany planned on following Tyler on his religious journey. She also planned on becoming a legitimate member of the IHOP church. As for the rest of the members of the community, for them, post graduation meant getting ready for the upcoming dooming apocalyptic era that Tyler and Pastor Mike Bickle had been warning them about. So prior to graduation, though, one of the community members, Micah, came to the group and told them, like, hey, I've seen a vision, and basically something really bad is going to happen at the university on December 4th or 5th. Well, when he told the group this, a few other members stood up and they were like, wait, we heard the same message last night in our sleep. So December rolls around and the community members are just sitting there waiting for something bad to happen. And apparently on December 3rd, there was like a horrific storm all day. The sky was black. And December 4th, bright and early in the morning, there was a university student named Rob Atkinson who got hit and killed by a car on campus. And it was a hit and run and the car was never found. Apparently this guy, Rob, who was killed, had been anti-community. A lot of the community members didn't like him. So when he was hit and killed on the day that the visions were supposed to happen, like said they were going to happen, the community, they pretty much celebrated it, which is super odd. Do we think one of them killed him?
That's what I was just about to say. What are the odds?
Now, I will say, Kylie, when I found this part out, nothing, nowhere, Did I find any sort of hint or clue or wording that said maybe the community members did it? It was in my head that I was writing it. And I was like, wait a minute. They said it was a hit and run. They never found the car. The community hated the dude and they celebrated his death. It sounds like one of them killed him. But it was nowhere. I found no news articles of like, this is who we're suspecting or anything like that.
Yeah, we need to contact the police about this. I have a few suspects.
Yeah, they might have needed a hot tip on that one. On the same day that Tyler went to his group members and told them of a new vision he had, this new vision was like him and his apostles were going to go to IHOP's headquarters in Missouri. After that, they were going to move to Egypt. And then Egypt, they were going to establish the army of people for the end times. So like the community's like, oh shit, I guess we're going to Missouri and then Egypt. So in 2009, Bethany and Tyler moved to Missouri after their graduation, and they began a 6-month-long internship that would allow them to be a part of the IHOP organization. Those who were still back at Southwestern University in the community who hadn't graduated yet, once they did, they would move out and move up to Missouri as well, in with Bethany and Tyler, and begin their own internship journey with IHOP. Apparently, during this internship, the new members were, quote, to abandon themselves for Jesus, end quote, whatever that means. And so basically their days, they would spend from 8 a.m. to like 4 p.m. in an IHOP internship program, learning and studying. And then from 6 p.m. to midnight, they would be worshiping in the prayer room. So there was like never any free time. And I guess at some point during his internship, Tyler felt like God told him that being gay was a choice. And that Tyler had just been bad at making choices, even though we thought they had prayed the gay away. So like Tyler's just like, I was just bad at making choices. And so in that moment, Tyler decided that he wasn't gay anymore. And he was actually in love with Bethany. And the two of them officially became boyfriend and girlfriend. But others didn't really think the relationship was real. People would later say that it looked very staged, mainly from Tyler's end. For example, Tyler forbid any type of touching or physical relationship with Bethany. Like they weren't even allowed to like hold hands or kiss until they were engaged. But they also weren't allowed to be engaged until 2.5 years of dating. So like there was this whole written rule that Tyler had about how their relationship was going to go. Now, fast forward a little bit. The community has all made their way up to IHOP in Missouri. They're studying, they're doing their own things. And in 2010, Tyler told them that he was going to quit his job as a math tutor in order to become more involved with IHOP because that's what God told him to do. But because he was supposed to quit his job, this meant that everyone else needed to get jobs or get better paying jobs in order to help support him and the lifestyle. Out of everyone, though, Bethany actually ended up getting accepted into an accelerated nursing program. So her and Tyler were the only two people not working in the community. Everyone else had to like go out and get a job or two or three in order to pay for rent, for food. Like they were living in these two community houses, like all together, all 30 members. They also had to pay for Tyler and Bethany's part. As time went on in these homes, more rules began to take place. So, for example, punishments started to happen. One of the members, named Bose, B-O-S-E, questioned Tyler's sexuality to Tyler one time. And instead of Tyler, like, defending himself, he decided to just outcast Bose for an entire year. No one in the community was allowed to talk to Bose. Bose could still live in the house, still went to IHOP, still was a part of the community, but no one was allowed to talk to Bose. But once IHOP got word that Tyler was doing this type of shit to people, they actually reached out to him and was like, hey, you have to stop this. Like, we don't believe in shunning of people. So it is interesting that IHOP was like noticing the smaller groups and like what they were doing.
Seems like Tyler's getting a little power hungry.
Yeah. So some other weird consequences were things like if Tyler thought you disobeyed him or the group at any point in time, like let's say you weren't able to bring in enough money for the month or you were late to prayer group, Tyler began having the community practice pretty much for like doomsday or a doomsday scenario. So in this scenario, the person that's in trouble from Tyler, they would have to go outside and practice dodging bullets and like rolling in the ground and digging ditches and stuff like that, like practicing for the doomsday, the end of times. Apparently at one point, Tyler even hired some random dude from Craigslist to come teach the community how to be prepared for the end of times when it came to shooting guns and dodging real bullets. So they would be like outside, like shooting at each other, dodging bullets, like Matrix type of style. I would love to know how many people actually got hit while they were doing that.
Yeah. Do they have bulletproof vests? Are they shooting rubber bullets?
Even if you're shooting a rubber bullet, like that's going to hurt. So while all of this was going on, you know, the same old every day on the outside, everyone went to their respective employments. They'd go to prayer. They'd go to sleep. They'd wake up and repeat. But at some point, Tyler got word that former member Micah was going to be graduating college and moving in soon. And so Tyler took it upon himself to move people around in the house so that an open bed would happen. In a way, Tyler benefited himself because he made his crush, Justin, move into his bedroom and together in the basement. So now member Justin is sleeping with Tyler in the basement by themselves. But when this all occurred, it's also when Tyler decided that he was, you know, preparing to marry Bethany in their 2.5 year long engagement. And he was told by God in one of his prophecies that he needed to have same sex intimacy first in order to be able to be intimate with Bethany in the future. Don't know how that works, but if that's what God told him. So obviously, Justin moving into the basement, Tyler was now able to apply this new rule, whether Justin liked it or not. So for the following months, Tyler would now hold mandatory male spiritual wrestling, where every guy in the community would all be naked and they would have to wrestle each other. And that was mandatory. Well, Bose was like, hell no, I'm not doing that. That's freaking weird. And because Bose spoke out about it, Tyler shunned him even more, even though IHOP like told him to stop. But now Tyler told everyone that Bose is no longer Bose. His name is Bobby, and that Bobby is only allowed to eat on the floor. Anyways, as days went on, shit just got weirder within the IHOP community and the community itself. Daily prayer sessions started seeming more like rituals. Members would be speaking in tongues. Members would be having convulsions when it came to worshiping. And this pretty much led up to August of 2012, which was Bethany and Tyler's wedding. Now, you'd think, a wedding, yay, how fun. But this was actually the first time in years that any family or friends of Bethany had seen her. And apparently the whole wedding weekend, she kept to herself. She didn't say more than like two words to people. She was behind Tyler the entire time and didn't really seem engaged in any of the activities or the wedding itself. So everyone that knew her pre-college was like, this, what is going on? Like, this is not our Bethany. After the wedding, the newlyweds flew off to Costa Rica for a 3-week-long honeymoon, which had, by the way, been paid by the community members and their 5 million jobs they probably had. But apparently the honeymoon was awful for both of them because Bethany had been emailing some of the girls in the community back home saying Tyler refused to be intimate with her, while Tyler was also emailing some people back home saying he just couldn't, quote, get it up for Bethany. So obviously things are not looking good. And once the newlyweds returned home, pretty much things went back to normal like they were before, except Bethany now also lived in the basement with Tyler and Justin. It was not out of the ordinary, like if Bethany spent her days at the other house in the community, because that was where primarily all the women were, and she felt more at home there, but she would always have to stay the nights with Tyler and Justin in the basement. Not to mention, she probably also wanted to stay in the other house because Tyler was still openly and actively seeking male sexual relationships within the community, even after his wedding. So like, that's gotta be weird.
He's come out and gone back in the closet how many times now?
Like 3, 4. I don't even know. But he's not gay. Gay, being gay is a choice, and he makes bad choices. But in order to have a sexual relationship with Bethany, he has to be with men.
Yeah, because he's not sexually attracted to Bethany.
Correct. Yes. The whole community pretty much after the wedding started secluding to themselves a little bit more, began withdrawing from the world, following into their own depressions. And apparently Bethany's depression was pretty bad, and it seemingly pissed Tyler off that she was depressed. Like, he was pretty much like, look what I've given you, look what I do for you, and you choose to be depressed, which, love that. So he told the male community members to ignore Bethany and her sadness. Love that. Even at some point, Tyler told one of the guys that he kept having these reoccurring dreams of smothering Bethany in her sleep.
That's normal.
2 months after the wedding, on October 30th, 2012, a local investigator named Penny Cole received a phone call about a suspicious car being parked at a picnic area for a long time. When Investigator Cole showed up to the area around 10 p.m., she found Bethany's tan minivan parked with the lights and engine off. As she walked up to the car, she saw Bethany curled in the back seat. Unfortunately, Bethany had a plastic bag wrapped around her head. There were 2 bottles of Tylenol on the floor, one empty, one unopened. On the floor of the car, Investigator Cole found Bethany's cell phone, her nursing school badge, multiple IHOP CDs, wedding thank you cards that Bethany had been working on, and lastly, a suicide note that had been seemingly written from Bethany. About a week after Bethany's passing, a funeral was held for her. And at one point, Tyler got up in front of everyone, her husband, and told them how he had been watching Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And the scene came on where Dumbledore dies. And he said that in that moment, God came to Tyler and said, quote, when you lose someone, you can't hold on to them. You need to move forward, end quote. Which, like, God damn, you're like, your wife just died. She just killed herself. And you're telling people to move on.
If my husband said that at my funeral, he's getting haunted.
I'm coming back. During the rest of the funeral and afterwards, Bethany's family was very quick to point out how off Tyler seemed. He was very quiet towards everyone, showed no emotions or any signs of sadness, and was very blunt when he spoke. All traits that he was normally not like. That being said, and I know we've talked about this before, you never know how you're going to act in a situation and until you're in that situation. So, like, if Cameron passed away and I was at a funeral, you know, like, am I stone cold or am I bawling my eyes out? I have no idea. And don't get me wrong, even though Bethany was found with a suicide note, her family was very suspicious about the circumstances, as they did not think she was suicidal in any manner. One of the reasons that they were also suspicious is because of the apparent suicide note Bethany had written behind. Remember from the beginning, Bethany was like a talented writer. She did it in her free time. It was her passion. Well, the suicide note that had been written was very dark and to the point and didn't really seem like her writing. So the suicide note read, quote, my name is Bethany Deaton. I chose this evil thing. I did it because I couldn't be a real person. And what's the point of living if it's too late for that? I wish I had chosen differently a long time ago. I knew it all. I refuse to listen. Maybe Jesus will save me. End quote. So, like, it didn't sound like that. Like, if you had read Bethany's anything, it just didn't sound like Bethany. Also to mention that other than her online blog, everything that Bethany ever did writing wise, she loved to handwrite. And this suicide note was written and printed out from a computer. So it's not really possible to tell who wrote the letter.
I feel like it's very rare to see, like, an actual suicide note typed and printed out.
Like, I feel like that takes a lot of time.
Yeah, because I feel like in that moment, you're going as fast as possible.
Right.
Typed and printed out makes me feel like someone else wrote it.
Yeah. Well, fast forward about 2 weeks after Bethany's death, IHOP and the community member, Micah, remember Micah, Micah Moore? He walked himself into the Grandview Police Department around 2 a.m. in the morning and confessed to killing Bethany. He said he had done it by the guidance of Tyler Deaton. So now on November 9th, 2012, Michael Moore was arrested for the death of Bethany Deaton, a death that had been originally listed as a suicide. And during his confession, Micah said that he had actually poisoned Bethany with a drug called Seroquel. Do you know Seroquel?
Oh, like an antidepressant?
It's an antipsychotic drug. So yeah.
Yeah.
In a way. And he said that he had poisoned Bethany with Seroquel, and then he suffocated her with the plastic bag. During Micah's confession, he also stated a few other things that really ended up shocking people. But apparently, ever since Bethany and Tyler had returned home from their honeymoon, Tyler had been regularly poisoning Bethany with Seroquel before letting other male members of the community assault her while she was passed out. And then to make matters worse, the multiple assaults on Bethany were being recorded on Tyler's iPad.
What the hell?
After Micah's confession, Bethany's body was rightfully exhumed, and investigators changed her cause of death from suicide to undetermined. But after being in custody for 2 weeks, Micah's lawyer actually came forward and retracted his confession. Micah's lawyer said that Micah was, quote, an abused, distraught, and confused young man, end quote. Now, if you do remember, going back in my story, when I originally talked about Micah, he suffered from mental health issues following that acid trip that he had one time. So he definitely was a distraught and confused young man. I don't know abused wise, because obviously that's, they're talking about whatever was happening in the community. But despite everything, prosecutors still went forward with charging Micah with first degree murder. What's crazy, though, because I love this, is that even though Micah told the police and investigators multiple times that, like, he killed Bethany, but that Tyler told him to do so, Tyler was never arrested. He was never brought in for questioning. Like, they didn't even blink an eye at Tyler. To make things crazier, pretty much as soon as Micah was arrested, the community in Missouri broke apart. They, like, immediately, all the members were like, all right, we're done. The members' families drove or flew to, like, pick up their adult kids and bring them back home. Like, oops, someone got in trouble, so now everyone has to go home and live, like, a normal life. Your summer camp's over kind of situation. These are all grown-ass adult humans, and their families came and, like, picked up all of them. But Tyler was the only person from the community that stayed behind and continued on with his worshiping and religion. He went out quickly and got a job, as he was now not being funded by other people. And he got a job as a pre-calc teacher, but only a few weeks into teaching, he ended up getting fired because apparently some of his students had, like, Googled his name and found out he was pretty much a cult leader and potentially involved with killing his wife, which I love that the students found that out and not the school when he was being hired.
Yeah, you think that would come up.
Especially if it was a Google search away. Anyways, as the investigation into Bethany's murder continued, investigators became more suspicious on the fact that potentially Micah had been lying the entire time, even during his confession. So apparently after Bethany's death, Micah was now telling the police. Micah met with some higher ups in IHOP. And in this meeting, they discussed how Tyler's community needed to be broken apart and what could they do to make this happen. Now, remember, this is all according to Micah. So, and what he's telling the investigators. So, like, we don't know what's going on, Micah. What's real, what's not. But according to Micah, not only did the IHOP members talk about wanting to dismember Tyler's community group, but that this meeting went on for hours and into the middle of the night. And during this meeting, there was a group of IHOP members in the back that were, like, praying over all of the leaders and Micah, but that these people were speaking in tongues and they were shouting at Micah that he had killed Bethany and throwing themselves on the floor in, like, retaliation. So, like, a lot of shit was going on. While this was all going on in the meeting, Micah was like, yes, I did kill Bethany and I'm also a serial killer. Micah then starts naming off, like, some names of, like, IHOP members, but those members were, like, quite still alive and they knew that for a fact. So the IHOP leaderships were like, okay, this dude is a little nuts. Something's wrong with him. So they drove him to the police station. And that's when Micah walked in and then confessed to originally killing Bethany Deaton. Yeah. So, like, full circle moment of, we don't know what the hell's happening with Micah. They also, on top of the investigators finding out this new apparent IHOP meeting information. They also found Micah's confession to be strange because it didn't add up to a lot of things. For example, Micah said that he suffocated Bethany in the front seat of her car, but Bethany was found in the third row of her minivan, so couldn't have crawled back there if she was dead. Micah also said that he had killed her around 10 a.m., but police were able to discover that Bethany had used her debit card at 11 a.m. that morning, and she was seen on video. So, like, known fact. And then on top of all of that, which this part gives a little bit of a relief, just to let you know, when her body was exhumed, no Seroquel was found in her system. There was also no signs of any assault or sexual assault. In fact, it seemed that Bethany was still a virgin. They did go and search Tyler's iPad that apparently all these recorded assaults were on. And after investigation, no videos or evidence could be found of any recordings or pictures of Bethany having been assaulted.
I guess that's good.
Yeah. So to make matters worse, though, it also was found out, and I don't know how they missed this originally, but apparently Bethany had attempted to take her life before. Apparently, after Bethany and Tyler's wedding, Tyler had found Bethany in her car and she had drank a cup of windshield fluid. And so Tyler called the police. They took Bethany to the hospital. They pumped her stomach and they were able to keep her alive, but they kept her on an involuntary mental hold until it could be determined whether she was a danger to herself anymore. And while she was in the hospital, Tyler was advocating for her not to be released because he said that she would do it again. 5 days later, after her release from the mental hospital, she was found in her car with the plastic bag wrapped around her head.
It's one thing if he's just saying, like, the husband's like, oh, no, she's been depressed, she's been suicidal, but we have, like, actual medical and police records of this.
Right. But did she even do any of that to begin with? Like, did he poison her and she OD'd on it originally? And they took her to the hospital, pumped her stomach, and did all that. You know, like, it could easily also be a setup.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So with all of that being said, Micah's charge of the first degree murder ended up being dropped in October of 2014 due to lack of evidence. And regardless of that, Bethany's cause of death remained undetermined on paper. They didn't put it back as suicide, but her case was listed as closed. So Micah would later go on to be diagnosed with a psychotic behavior disorder, which we kind of thought was what was happening, where it would be found that he would have mental breaks when put in stressful situations. As for Tyler Deaton, like I said earlier, he was never investigated. He was never brought in for questioning, nothing regarding his wife Bethany's death. As for him now, Tyler went on with his life post the community and IHOP, and he's actually now a LGBTQ therapist, and he lives with his husband. Yep, you heard that right. Husband. So obviously Tyler is now openly gay. As for IHOP founder Mr. Mike Bickle, in November of 2023, he actually officially stepped down as the leader of the organization after being found of numerous instances of sexual misconduct within the church. Some of those instances also included reports of having to have been with children, but to this day, Mike Bickle has not been formally charged with any crimes. Love that. Though Bethany Deaton's case is technically closed, there are family and friends and some investigators who truly believe she did not commit suicide. So with that being said, if you or anyone you know has any information regarding the death of Bethany Deaton, you can submit an anonymous tip on the government website for Grandview. It's grandview.org/government, or you can leave an anonymous tip by calling 816-316-4800. And that is the case of Bethany Deaton.
I don't know what to think. I mean, Micah's the one that's kind of throwing me off here.
But Micah should be throwing you off because he's got mental issues, you know? But, like, he could be 1,000% telling the truth on some parts of his story.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, if stressful situations, like, exasperate, you know, his mental well-being, say Bethany did commit suicide and that just he concocted this whole thing in his head. Mm-hmm. Or was that information planted on him, given right. to him?
Right. Because he originally confessed.
Yeah. And then, but it's weird. Say it was planted by whoever to tell him to go confess. I don't see why you would do that if it was ruled as suicide.
Right. Yeah. There's no need to go change it. Like, Bethany died, so why now confess if you weren't being caught to begin with?
Yeah.
And I love the fact that Tyler was never even looked at. Like, not for a fucking second. Do some, like, due diligence on that part. Just any, like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, why is it closed?
Right. It's undetermined. So, like, it never went back. Even though they dropped the murder charges, it never went back to suicide. They list her death, cause of death is undetermined, but the case is closed. So, was it suicide?
It's suicide or homicide at this point. And if it's not suicide, then we have some more investigating to do.
Right. And it should be open.
Yeah.
Also, right before I told you that Bethany had killed herself in the car, literally a few sentences before that, Tyler was telling some of his community members that he was having these reoccurring dreams of smothering Bethany. And then 5 days later, she died by being smothered.
Yeah, that's fishy.
I kind of wonder if Tyler did it. And then he told Micah, like, I need you to take the blame. Like, God told me, I need you to take the blame. And then Micah was all fucked up. So he didn't know what to do, you know?
I could see that.
I also want to know, because I couldn't find this, was there any Tylenol in her body? Because remember, there were two Tylenol things. One was empty. One was completely full. So I am assuming she took a whole bottle of Tylenol and then then put a plastic bag. I don't know. So, like, was there Tylenol in her system? Because there wasn't any Seroquel or whatever it was called.
I'm sure they would have tested it. Because, I mean, they figured out that she didn't have Seroquel.
Like, unless it's crushed up and put in your food, you can't, like, accidentally take pills.
Yeah, not that amount.
No.
Like, one sitting.
Yeah. Ready for overtime?
It's honestly quite fitting. I had no idea what the story was going to be on today, but I wanted to talk about down in your neck of the woods, there's a lot of black magic going on.
Is there?
There is. This week, I saw it on TikTok, sheriffs in Fort Pierce were called to a home because there was a little child that hadn't been at school for a month.
I know this one. This is actually in my community right now. Like, some people knew all of this stuff.
Yes, for the listeners. So deputies go, they do to do a welfare check to, like, tell the mom, like, hey, you're going to have to go to truancy court. Like, your six-year-old son hasn't been in school for a month. And they released the body cam footage, and she's just, like, walking around outside, kind of being nonchalant. And the cop was like, well, can I, like, see him, you know, make sure he's okay? And they find him deceased in the bed. And apparently she had killed him during an exorcism.
Yeah. So she nonchalantly showed they were like, yeah, he's in his bedroom. And the mom said that God had told her that her son needed to be exorcised, I guess. Is that what you call it? Yeah. And so she had been performing self exorcisms on him at home, and he was found dead, deceased. He was deceased and decaying in his bed. So he had been deceased for a while. So sad. That's so crazy you brought that up, because I was just, it's like I said, it's in the community for the county. So, like, I've been keeping up to date on all the posts about it online. And then when it came out that, like, she was performing exorcisms on him, is just like, obviously a mental health crisis, but, like, mind blowing. A 6 year, that's a first grader.
Also, it took the school like a month to call the cops.
Yeah. So the little boy hadn't been in school since April 15th. And it wasn't until May 20th or something like that, that the school's sheriff officer or support officer from the school contacted Martin County Sheriff's Office. And then it took a few days for Martin County Sheriff's Office to actually go and do it. And the first day that they did the welfare check, the mom was like, yeah, come on. Yeah, she's just chilling outside.
Yeah, she's
not a good one.
Nope. On a happier note, Kate is turning 30.
Oh, yes, I am. Not before you guys all hear this story, but in a few days, I'll be turning 30 on June 9th, the wonderful Monday. Can't wait for that. So excited. Dirty 30, not thriving. What is it? 30, flirty, and thriving?
Do you feel flirty and thriving?
No.
Well, I guess because you're not 30 yet.
For good reasons. But I will say, everyone that I know that is above 30 has said that, like, 30s are it. They're supposed to be, like, some of the best days.
That's what I heard. I feel like that's when people are the most confident in themselves.
Right. And like, I feel like, I mean, not to say, because we were a little bit older when it happened, but like, you know, kind of got X'd out of our 20s because of COVID and shit like that. But like, we missed a few years, a few crucial years because of COVID in our 20s. And then I have been with Cameron since I was 19 or 20. So like, my life has been very the same for the past 10 years. We just bought a house. You know, we've got a wonderful little baby. I feel like maybe my 30s are just going to be completely different than my 20s. So that's kind of what I'm like going. Oh, well, they are. They are, yeah. Actually. That's a fact.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be good. I don't have any qualms about turning 30. It is what it is. I've lived out 30 years. So I definitely feel like it. I feel like I'm at 40 at this point. So
mentally, you're maybe 40.
Yeah, I feel like it too.
Physically, I wouldn't say older than 25.
Damn. Thank you, Kylie.
You're welcome.
Now, I don't know if you're just saying that, but that really hit home. Thank you.
No, I wouldn't lie to you. I would tell you if you were ugly.
Oh, see, I was thinking like 38.
Oh, no.
Wow. You think I could still get ID'd?
Yeah. I went to ABC yesterday and I didn't get ID'd. And I huffed and puffed all the way back to my car.
Well, first of all, they have to like type your and scan your shit and type it in and stuff like that. So what did that cashier do?
Not a thing.
Was there not a police officer in the store?
Nope.
Dude, here in Florida, there's police officers in every single ABC store.
Maybe down there, not up here. There's a lot of shenanigans going down by your house, not at my house.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I take that back. Maybe not all of Florida, but like at least where I am. Yeah. I live in a good place too, but like there's a lot of, you know, South Florida. We've got a good reputation of the Florida man down here. So
the dark magic.
Dark magic. So had your kids, had your wives. Don't do black magic and exercise your kids. That's a no-no. Also, don't join cult groups. All right, you guys. Well, with that, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Over My Dead Pod. With more information about this case, check us out on our website at overmydeadpod.com or on our social medias. And stay tuned for another episode next week. Bye.
Bye.